Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So here we are, full of turkey and pie. Hopefully not too much regret. At the end of the church's year, at the threshold of what is coming next, so much anticipation at this time of year. And even though we may be eager and buzzing full of tasks waiting to be done, or maybe preemptively haggard and overwhelmed, or left out of the middle of the action of things, where we actually stand right now is a pretty remarkable scene in itself. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Today we plant our feet firmly for a moment in sacred imagination within the reign of God, the throne room of a kingdom nothing like the one in which we live, nor that any of our ancestors have known before us. Sometimes I like to imagine the church's time and liturgy as a sort of ship that transports us beyond the reality we know. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, think of a TARDIS. Or maybe like the Starship Enterprise or the Beastermath or Dumbledore's Pensieve. Or if you're not a science fiction fan, in that case, maybe it's like, well, okay, I don't really have anything for you if you're not a science fiction fan. Science fiction is too full of fantastic metaphors. I don't know what the rest of us might all think of. I imagine there are other things. Maybe if you have one, you can come and teach me later. But whatever kind of transportation the liturgy might be like for you, today it brings us into a throne room where there is a king not high above everyone who enters and far away, but whose throne is right in the center of the room with a wash basin beside it. And when his subjects come to kneel before him, he meets them on his own knees and washes their feet and embraces them with no hint of dignity at all. And there is a long table set around the edges of the room with every kind of food in the world that stretches so far in all directions you can't make out the faces far away at the edges. And there is a chair there for you with food that comforts you more than anything in the world waiting right beside your place. And when you turn to see who's sitting beside you, well, it may not be someone you really expected, or maybe even wanted to see. And somehow, maybe you are comforted to know that there is a place in the universe where you both belong. And I imagine there's an impossibly tall and wide window at the far end of the room with a doorway to the outside, right in the middle of it. And through it, you can see an expanse of blue-black darkness, but even though it is quiet and still, it is glowing humming, like there is electricity coursing at its edges, building, glowing brighter, but not yet with a clear shape or form. It's what's next. That you can tell. Christ the King Sunday welcomes us into a different kind of kingdom and prepares us for the expanse of brimming, still, unseen hope that is Advent. This festival is, I believe, the youngest in the church's calendar, at least of the major festivals that we keep. It was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925. And think about what had been going on and what was about to happen in the world at that time. This festival was founded in the midst of rising fascism throughout the world. And then the Lutheran Church adopted it too, I believe, after the Second Vatican Council in 1959, if you're interested in those sorts of things. The church has claimed this day to crown the church's year in an act of direct defiance of the powers of the world that were hierarchical, oppressive, xenophobic, not to mention anti-Semitic, which is something that we have to unravel from our own sacred texts in this reading we hear today, and also white supremacist. This day is not an indictment of evil rulers way back when, but of forces and ideologies that have existed and continue to exist in our lifetimes, in our lived experience. If you have ever wondered if Christianity is political in the best sense of that word, this festival says a decisive yes. And if you have ever needed a day to see that the church and its story are not a fairy tale from long ago and far away that you have to open and see in a book, well, then today is a day like that. Today the church's time is forged within the world we know. The church says that no nation or ideology can claim us as subjects above the God who is the true ruler of the universe, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega who enfolds all time and who has more claim to power and to our loyalty than any puny dictator has ever had. And yet it is this one who chooses to come close to us in self-giving love, not with military might and commanding force. We are in a time again now where the tension between our citizenship in God's kingdom and the kingdoms of this world might come into deeper tension. Though maybe every people in every time has been able to say that. The world isn't as different now as we might wish it was from the days of the early 20th century when the church saw the need for us to set aside time to reflect on being claimed by God's kingdom over and against all others. In the book of Revelation, we are given another cosmic vision of that throne room of Christ the King, of what the arrival of that King looks like in our midst. It is a place of glory where the ethereal, the clouds, surround the one who comes into this place, into the world. This throne room is a place where all nations are gathered without borders or boundaries. It is a place where God's rule will be received and revealed to those who have done, well, both good and evil. They are all there. Because the truth is the truth. And it is true for all people, and it is unchanging and unwavering. No one is outside of its dominion. And just as Jesus says to Pilate, those who belong to the truth, listen to my voice. Some of us may want to claim that we don't belong to anything or anyone. As much as we may prefer our own versions of the story, at the end of the day, truth is truth, and we are truth's children. Sometimes truth is powerful and beautiful and bright. Sometimes truth is frightening. These days, sometimes we hear truths that are frightening about the fate of our planet, about suffering and the world that we don't know how to stop. But we also know that the ultimate unmovable truth is the God who reaches out in love. who promises us that whatever we do in the name of truth will be worthwhile, though it will also be difficult, and sometimes even dangerous. The kingdom of God is not one of promised safety, but it is one of love and life and unbridled joy. We are always welcome, endlessly invited to come and be a part of it. Which actually brings me back to Doctor Who one more time. The Doctor is a beautiful character, a time traveler from an alien world, powerful and fueled by the desire to bring love and justice and cleverness to bear everywhere in the universe. If you don't know this series, the best way I can describe the Doctor is to say the Doctor is centuries old. Well, and there may be a super fan in the room that has some corrections to offer me too, and feel free to do that. But I would describe the Doctor by saying the Doctor is centuries old, and despite being famously powerful, doesn't use weapons of destruction to enact their will, not ever. The Doctor has a spaceship that is made of a police call box, like a blue telephone booth, but it's bigger on the inside. And I like to think of the church and the kingdom of God being something that looks sort of ordinary and unimpressive from the outside, but is so much bigger on the inside, where there is room for everyone who needs to be there. The Doctor confronts monstrous evils with wit and compassion and a little bit of nearly magical technology. She can see through the horror of a giant, frightening alien creature and see where it is suffering that no one else can see behind their fear. She can walk unflinchingly toward it with both love and sorrow. The Doctor gathers travel companions in ways that to me echo the gathering of disciples. They are drawn to her and she to them, and even when she barely knows them, it is clear she loves them already and is delighted when they want to join her. Her joy at their presence is restrained only by the hesitation that full truth-telling requires. She wants them, but she wants them to choose life with her with their eyes wide open. That is a part of the dance of joining in this kingdom. God wants us to live in it desperately and also wants us to choose it. We want to choose it too, desperately, because we want to do what matters, but we are also afraid to step beyond our security and concern. There is a moment of choice for the new friends of the Doctor where they stand on a threshold between the world they have known and the wide open expanse of the universe with the Doctor in front of them. And they ask to come with her. And though she wants them to be sure, she warns, "I can't guarantee that you're going to be safe." We know. Do you, really? Because when I pull that lever, I'm never quite sure what's going to happen. That's okay. You're not going to come back the same people that left here. But that's all right. I think that's good. Be sure, all of you, be sure. And she sees in their eyes then, even if they can't fully be sure that they are going to come with her. And so she calls them over to the lever of the ship that causes its dematerialization to go on its next mission. And instead of pulling the lever herself, which clearly the Doctor has all the power they need to do, she asks, "Do you want to do it together?" And they all place their hands on top of it, a big pile, like in a huddle. And just as they are about to push into the next unknown, she says, "I love this bit." And so we are here again. How many times do pastors get weepy about spaceships? Silliness. It's what the spaceship stands for. We are here again in this spaceship that is the church, at the threshold of what we know, and the wide expanse of what is possible. in a universe where God's reign is being brought to bear. And our God so lovingly, eagerly sees us leaning forward, not quite ready, but so close, and wants nothing more than to pull us close, but also warns us, truly, God does, that for as worthwhile as this work is, it will be hard and full of uncertainty and risk. We will not be the same people when we are done. And then, though she could do it herself, of course, she invites us all to put our hands with hers on the lever that will push us into that great blue, black, humming, unknown horizon just outside the doors. I can imagine God saying it too. I love this bit. And off we go. Amen.